Throughout the trial, she had sat quietly beside her husband, her hands worrying a rumpled handkerchief. As often as she could, she caught her son's eye, nodded at him, and simulated a smile which, though flimsily constructed, affirmed her loyalty. But clearly the woman's control was exhausted. She began to cry. A few spectators glanced at her and glanced away, embarrassed. The rest seemed oblivious of the raw dirge counterpointing Dewey's continuing recitation. Even her husband, perhaps because he believed it unmanly to take notice, remained aloof. At last, a woman reporter, the only one present, led Mrs. Hickok out of the courtroom and into the privacy of a ladies' room. Once her anguish had subsided, Mrs. Hickok expressed a need to confide. "There's nobody much I can talk to," she told her companion. "I don't mean people haven't been kind, neighbors and all. And strangers, too. Strangers have wrote letters to say they know how hard it must be and how sorry they are. Nobody's said a mean word, either to Walter or me. Not even here, where you might expect it. Everybody here has gone out of their way to be friendly. The waitress over at the place where we take our meals, she puts ice cream on the pie and don't charge for it. I tell her don't, I can't eat it. Used to be I could eat anything, didn't eat me first. But she puts it on. To be nice. Sheila, that's her, she says it's not our fault what happened. But it seems to me like people are looking at me and thinking, well, she must be to blame somehow. The way I raised Dick. Maybe I did do something wrong. Only I don't know what it could have been. I get headaches trying to remember. We're plain people. Just country people, getting along the same as everybody else. We had some good times at our house. I taught Dick the foxtrot. Dancing. I was always crazy about it. It was my whole life when I was a girl. And there was a boy. Gosh, he could dance like Christmas. We won a silver cup waltzing together. For a long time, we planned to run away and go on the stage. Vaudeville. It was just a dream. Children dreaming. He left town, and one day I married Walter, and Walter Hickok couldn't do step one. He said if I wanted a hoofer, I should have married a horse. Nobody ever danced with me again until I learned Dick, and he didn't take to it exactly, but he was sweet. Dick was the best-natured little kid. Mrs. Hickok removed the spectacles she was wearing, polished the smeared lenses, and resettled them on her pudgy, agreeable face. There's lots more to Dick than what you hear back there in the courtroom. The lawyer's jabbering how terrible he is. No good at all. I can't make any excuses for what he did. His part in it. I'm not forgetting that family. I pray for them every night. But I pray for Dick, too. And this boy Perry. It was wrong of me to hate him. I've got nothing but pity for him now. And you know, I believe Mrs. Clutter would feel pity too, being the kind of woman they say she was. Court had adjourned. The noises of the departing audience clattered in the corridor beyond the lavatory door. Mrs. Hickok said she must go and meet her husband. He's dying. I don't think he minds anymore.